$1,000. Now, text the keyword bank to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bank to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Now more.
Glenn Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. On Thursday, coming to the end of the week at last. Len, I have a question
for you. Yes, sir. I don't know if I have the answer, but give it a shot. Oh, good morning, Michael. How are you? Joe Bartlett, how are you? How's everybody?
Good morning, Len.
Good morning. Good morning. No, I have a serious question for you. A serious question.
Right? Serious. Very serious. Dead serious.
Not Syria, but serious question yeah. here. Okay, now, the Access Hollywood tape.
Correct.
The infamous Access Hollywood tape when Donald Trump got off the... bus with little Billy Bush.
Yes.
And unfortunately said you can grab him by the P-world.
Yeah, okay.
Right? Yep. Can you tell me what that has to do with Russian collusion?
Oh, everything. I think that's the whole ball of wax.
Can you connect the dots between the Access Hollywood tape and an investigation into Russian collusion?
That's the whole ball of bikini wax. That's the whole thing, right?
That's right there. So what? Vladimir Putin was running the audio board when Trump said those remarks and recorded them, and that is how the Russians are involved. I'm serious, Len. We've got a raid now on Michael Cohen's office. Trump's
so it's not
lawyer.
A question. It's a speech he's making.
I thought he had a question for me. He's dovetailing it into a speech. Len,
you
I'm calm.
Had a chance to respond.
I'm calm. Yeah. I'm setting it up. Okay.
Calm.
We had a raid.
Yes,
FBI raid on Trump's lawyer's office. Okay. And the investigation, now correct me if I'm wrong, Len, all right? The reason for this investigation into Donald Trump is Russian collusion, right? Is that not the reason? Am I on the stand? Is that not the reason Mueller was testifying here? He won't let me speak. Do I have immunity? He won't let me speak.
Where are you going with this?
I want to know what the Access Hollywood tape that now, according to the New York Times, thereafter.
Correct.
What does that have to do with Russian collusion?
Nothing.
Ah, I rest my case.
What's your case?
My case is this investigation is now completely out of control, and it appears that Mueller wants to find anything, any dirt whatsoever on Trump so he can hand it over to the Democrats when they take over the House in the fall and they can begin impeachment proceedings, and it will have nothing to do with Russian collusion. It'll have something to do with campaign finance violations, paying money to hush people up, campaign finance violations that normally people pay a fine on and move on and it's not a big deal. But here, with the Access Hollywood tape, with paying up hush money, Russian collusion is now gone, and it's let's just find anything in Trump's past to take him down with. And that's where we are with this investigation.
Well, I rest my case. Well, I think you're dead wrong. And I think what happened here is that Mueller handed it off because he found evidence of crimes being committed, and he handed it off. This has nothing to do with Russia. This has everything to do with things he saw. He handed it off to the Southern District of New York, and they're investigating campaign violations.
Oh, right. Big deal.
Well, that's what they're investigating.
Everybody violates campaign laws.
Fine.
Here. Obama did, too. He returned money as well.
So
find me a campaign that is not somewhere along the line violated campaign
regulations. So don't investigate anything. Everyone's a crook, and why investigate anything?
No. You know, we should investigate everybody. You'll find dirt on everybody and pull them all down, and we can just be at each other's throats for the rest of the time here. We might as well have a civil war. That's what you want.
Okay, fine.
Just no guns.
Not so many weapons. By the way.
Good morning, Len. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Nice to see you. You told me you walked in here and you said you were in a mellow mood. Then you go off like a pit bull.
I started in a mellow mood and I couldn't even get three words out of him. There you go. You don't want to hear the facts, Len. All you want to hear is the I word, impeachment.
No, that's what you want to hear. I never said that. You know, you're such a right-wing talking point handbook. I never said the word impeachment.
Stop it. By the way,
Trump just tweeted, if I wanted to fire Robert Mueller in December, as reported by the failing New York Times, I would have fired him. Just more fake news from a biased newspaper. So there you go.
That's your big three. Hey, on a serious note, we are awaiting Trump's decision on what he's going to do in Syria. It seems to be getting a little more complicated, which I think why Trump is holding back, because the Russians have now moved into Douma, which was that suburb outside of Damascus where the chemical weapons were used. And the Russians are sort of stacking their people in there as a way of saying, if you come in to try to go after the Syrians and you hit some Russians, you're going to have a hot war on your hands.
And don't forget the Iranians. So, I mean, yes, it's complicated. And it's been complicated from the beginning. Nobody knew who they were shooting at on what side. You had ISIS, you had the rebels, you had the Syrian forces. It's been a mess from the beginning. So, I still
believe Assad must be held accountable for the use of chemical weapons, and you hold him accountable by having some kind of strike against him. A coalition that, believe it or not, Trump seems to be putting together with the Europeans, who the French and the English, not so sure about the Germans yet, seem to agree that something must be done in response to the use of chemical weapons.
You don't have
a problem with that, right?
No, of course not. I thought you should have taken out Assad a long time ago. About thugs.
Well, who could have let me ask you something, Len.
Yes, sir.
And don't jump all over me before you answer the question. Who could have taken out Assad a long time ago? Who drew the red line in the sand, Len? Who was that?
That would be...
come on, Len.
Let me hear it.
Who asked Bartlett to be part of this peanut gallery?
I'm maturing section here.
You guys have what?
You haven't answered the question. Could have taken Assad out several years ago now, even before the Russians moved in? Who?
Well, I don't know about before the Russians moved in.
The Russians weren't there.
Wax in your ears? How many times have I...
He won't answer the question.
Let me answer. God, you're so impatient. I'm trying to be calm and mature about this.
And thoughtful. He's trying to be NPR-ish over here.
Well, I'm just saying that I've said over and over that Obama's biggest mistake was the red line in the sand, which he ignored. So why are you jumping down my throat? I don't disagree.
And that's why we are in the pickle that we are in today.
Oh, it's all Obama's fault. Yeah.
Because that flower-sniffing peacenik didn't have the guts.
And, of course, we're in the Middle East because of Obama. Oh, no, that was Bush. I'm sorry. That was the weapons of mass destruction.
All problems can be traced back to the Obama years.
Well, it's all Obama's fault. That. Well, that's what the right wing says. It's Obama's fault.
Rounding out the big three, a big, big day in New York sports. I love that brawl between the Yankees.
You love a brawl?
Brawl? Here's the thing, though. I always thought the brawls were in hockey. I mean, the baseball game turned into hockey. How often do you get a brawl in a baseball game?
Well, the weird thing is that happened in two different games
yesterday.
Yankees
and the Red Sox.
Yeah, and also happened in another National League game yesterday. So it happened twice in one day.
I always thought baseball was the gentleman.
Oh, no. I was in Fenway, I remember, back in the 70s for a brawl. I remember a big brawl at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. You don't see brawls regularly.
As much. Well, because they've come down hard. These guys don't want to lose their 12 cents at it or $80 million salary. So I'm down hard on these guys. And, I've tried to take the brawling out of baseball, but there's no bawling in baseball, but there is brawling. And you know what? People like you find it thoroughly entertaining.
It is kind of fun. They get all the testosterone flowing out there, and they go after each other. And
one of the columnists wrote, "It's great. Rivalry's back."
I was going to ask you about that. It is in the time. I think it's Vaccaro's in the Times today. You say, "This is wonderful. This is terrific. Ugly scene was quite a beautiful sight to witness."
That's it.
That's the headline. I don't know. I mean, how do you feel about that? I think brawling is unseemly and ungentlemanly.
Truth of the matter is, in 99.9% of these brawls, nobody gets hurt. It's just they all empty and they all jump on each other and nothing really happens.
Now, I always thought there was a period of time in hockey where they deliberately brawled because the fans loved it and it was good for the ratings.
Well, that's part of it. Also, they have a rule in hockey where the third guy into the fight gets thrown out of the game. So the first two, hey, knock yourselves out. And the referees intentionally stand back and let them fight. And they say that's because the referees don't want to get hurt. So, yeah, that's part of the culture. And if you ever watched a telecast or have been to a hockey game in person, look at the faces in the front row when there's a fight.
Oh, they love it.
They're not going tisk, tisk. No, they have big smiles. They're cheering. They say, yay. So.
Yeah. Well, you know what's happening in hockey when they throw the gloves on the ice. And then
gloves
always,
are off.
The gloves are, and then they wind up in some corner, and then they pile on each other. I played hockey as a kid once, and whenever the fight happened, I would just skate off.
Really?
I would just skate off, skate away. I did not want to get involved.
So you were
a
pussy. Okay.
I get it. Totally. I should have been a figure skater.
Yeah.
good day for the Mets. My God, hottest team. I think they're the hottest team in the whole league right now.
They're the best record in baseball.
Yep. What is 10-1?
10-1.
11-1 now.
No, 10-1.
10-1.
Yeah. Best record in baseball. And nobody's done it better. And we will have Sandy Alderson on with us live at 8:10, the general manager. And, you know, with every up story, there's a down story. That it looks like Travis d'Arnaud, their catcher, is going to be gone for the year. And their second catcher, Kevin Plawicki, got plunked by a 100-mile-an-hour fastball on his hand. They said x-rays are negative. I think Mr. Alderson, instead of talking to us, will be on the phone looking for catchers this morning.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, you left out the Knicks coach being fired.
Yes, he got whacked.
What a big sports day.
Yeah, not a surprise, though. I mean, he was not doing terrible.
Well, the Knicks are awful. So look at this. The Knicks and the Rangers, both in Madison Square Garden, both of them whacked their coach.
Yeah, you have Hornacek.
And you have two new baseball managers this year. I mean, coach, you have a new Giants coach this year. I think they said the longest tenured New York coach at any sport is Todd Bowles of the Jets. How about
really?
That one? Wow. And he was rumored to be on the firing block last year, too.
Who's the leading replacement for Hornacek, do you think?
Oh, well, a lot of fans want Mark Jackson, former St. John's star, played some for the Knicks. So right. I would like to see Mark Jackson, too. That would be a lot of fun.
All right, well, big news day for you. And coming up next, a mother is speaking out after the dismembered body of her daughter was found in Brooklyn. That's a really horrible story. And also, there's a terrifying home invasion, Len, on Staten Island. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider and check on the traffic.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, at 6:24. Yep, it's going to warm up. What are they saying today? It's going to get up to 59.
That's not bad. Not bad, but it's going to be in the 70s this weekend.
Get up to 76 tomorrow and maybe high 70s on Saturday, and then it gets cold again. But anyway, this will have a taste of it.
So spring is about 4 days.
We'll have a three-day spring, and then it's back to fall.
There you are.
Just one more quick tweet. The president woke up early today. He's tweeted, never said when an attack on Syria would take place. Could be very soon or not so soon at all. In any event, the United States, under my administration, has done a great job of ridding the region of ISIS. Where is our thank you, America? Thank you, Mr. Are we all supposed to bow down when we say thank you?
Hey, by the way, I wanted to ask you, did you see the news that Comey sat down with George Stephanopoulos?
Yes.
And he said that Trump behaves like somebody we love from the movies.
We do. He acts like the Godfather? Is that
yes, it? Marlon Brando.
All right, fine. Well, I early on...
I know you act like a man!
Early on in the campaign, I thought I was so clever and creative, and I didn't get any credit. Where's my thank you for that? I called him the Teflon Donald.
The Teflon Donald, very
because
good.
Because, you know, what's his name? Was the Teflon Don... Gotti.
Gotti was the Teflon Don. And he's the Teflon Don.
And early on in the campaign, and no matter what he said or did or whatever, nothing stuck, and I called him the Teflon Donald.
Absolutely.
Which just plays off that theme.
That's very clever, Len.
Wasn't that clever?
That is really
smart.
Where's
my thank
you, replaying your best hits.
Where's my thank you, America?
Don't you have a cut of that? You can play it over and over again? I'm going to call him the Teflon Donald.
I should hammer it into the ground.
Exactly.
Hey, this Staten Island story is just goofy. I mean, first of all, it's awful. A poor 67-year-old guy in Grimes Hill on Staten Island is in his garage. They slug the guy in the head. A couple of people barge in, slug him in the head as he was about to warm up his car. Then they tied up his hands. They go in the house. They tie up a 57-year-old wife, the 26-year-old daughter in a second-floor bathroom. They're terrorizing him. They said, we're going to kill you. Apparently, they had a knife, not a gun. At some point, the woman said, hey, take whatever you want. And eventually, these creeps said, you know, we're in the wrong house.
Wow.
So they were targeting a different house. So they said, oh, you're not in danger. You know, you're okay.
So wait, so they were targeting, was this some sort of like gang, mafia, organized crime thing? I mean, if they break into a house and they tie people up and whatnot, were they sent there by somebody else?
Sounds to me, now I'm no Columbo. First of all, they had Pennsylvania plates. My guess is they had some inside information on someone in a house who had a lot of money.
Who had a lot of money
and
somewhere.
And they got the wrong house. So they made away with what they say is $2,900 in cash and jewelry.
Oy.
And the people are okay. A dad was taken to the hospital, but he's going to be okay. But the neighbors obviously pretty shaken up.
Everybody wakes up pretty much and go to work, and if you're not, you're probably older, like a grandparent or something, and you're in the house most of the time.
Just awful.
That was shocking when you guys told me that. I was like, wow.
Kind of
like
surprising.
Yeah, and we usually work over here all the time, so that was very surprising.
It's obviously a nice, quiet neighborhood.
It's sad when you see something like this occur. It's just very sad, especially in a nice community such as our community here.
So listen, not only are these guys crooks, but they're dumb crooks. So.
Right, but it's your worst nightmare. I mean, it is. Whenever I was alone in the house in upstate New York where I grew up, and I would always lock the doors, your worst nightmare is somebody breaks in and tortures the family. Horrible.
Right. Well, this is even a worse nightmare, this next story.
Oh, this is terrible. So they've identified the chopped up body that was found in Brooklyn, Nicole Odom. Her mother is just, of course, distraught. They found Nicole's torso, her head, body parts in Canarsie Park. And there's a manhunt now for this butcher, and the guy is a butcher going
on.
They
were able to identify the young lady
because she had a tattoo,
on her torso.
Yeah. Really, ugh, creepy. Listen, if I'm living out there in Brooklyn, I'm on edge right now. You know, I mean, we have no idea how this woman wound up that way. It appears that she may have been murdered somewhere else, dismembered, and the body parts scattered there. But that is a chilling
story.
It
really is. And mom is now talking.
She was a good kid. Everybody loved her. So I don't know who in their right mind would have wanted to do her like that. I don't know. And I guess I won't know until this person is caught.
Yeah, here's some more from mom.
She is a human being, too. She do have family that love her. You just took whoever did this. You just don't know what you just took away from me and the world right now.
I don't know how mom can even speak.
I know. She seems composed for somebody whose daughter's torso has been found in a park.
Very articulate about how you've taken my life from me. I mean, just awful
Brandy
story.
Odom, only 26 years old.
I know.
There's going to be more to this story.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you.
Well, we're coming up on 6:30. It's time for the latest news headlines, and for that, we bring in the yesterday, the listeners couldn't decide if you were a conservative or liberal, so you're a man of all labels. Here's Joe Bartlett
straight down the middle
with the news.
That's right. Thank you, Michael. Okay, well, let's get to President Trump. He is consuming all news again today, dismissing a New York Times story that he wanted to fire Special Counsel Robert Mueller back in December, tweeting this morning that if he wanted to fire Mueller, he would have. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says the president remains concerned, though, about that Russia investigation.
The president certainly has been clear that he has a very deep concern about the direction that the special counsel and other investigations have taken. This investigation started off as Russia collusion, of which there was none.
Okay, now we have the other part of this story, the Access Hollywood tape. Back in the news, New York Times says when the FBI raided the home and office of the president's personal attorney, they were looking for documents related to that infamous video. Want to know if his attorney, Michael Cohen, had any role in trying to prevent that from being released.
And yes, Michael, it has nothing to do with Russia. This is a whole separate deal.
But you're delighted that the investigation is going forward so they can find anything they can on Trump.
You know what he does, Joe? He puts thoughts in my head. He assigns emotions to me. I never said impeachment. I never said I'm delighted. So you're making stuff.
He's going to be really upset if Trump is impeached.
Would you be upset?
Let me think.
No, he won't. Okay.
Let me think.
You got it. Hey, by the way, here's another one. This is another, because, you know, all the other stuff is kind of silly at the moment because we've got the situation with Syria.
Yeah.
Now he is being criticized for trying to talk about when we were going to do the attack. He says today, never said when an attack on Syria would take place. Could be very soon. Not so soon at all.
Okay.
There you go. Okay. Now you got it.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, you know, he spent the whole campaign saying, I will never tip my hand. And a lot of people were saying when he put out the tweet yesterday morning, well, here come the rockets and they're shiny and new, that he was tipping his hand.
See, that was criticism has to be blunted. Cynthia Nixon wants to legalize marijuana in New York State. She says it would give New York a financial boost.
Regulating and taxing marijuana would generate hundreds of millions of dollars of tax revenue for our people and create important agricultural opportunities for our state.
Agricultural
opportunity? I guess you're going to have farmers growing pot.
Sure. New pot farms.
Okay.
But she
I already got one on my windowsill.
I'm kidding. Precinct 1, we want you to go over to Michael Riedel's house.
I'm kidding.
She does point out that there is a double standard in how minorities and whites are treated when it comes to marijuana. She says minorities are jailed for doing it while whites get away with it.
Yep.
Our news brought to you by Gary Goldberg Financial Services. Schedule a free consultation by visiting ggfs.com.
All right. Thank you, Joey B. Coming up, you know, we're learning more about the raid on the office of President Trump's attorney. Find out what the FBI was trying to grab when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Riverwalk is a premier independent living community overlooking the Hudson River with luxury residential-style accommodations. Riverwalk is part of River Spring Health's Family of Care Solutions and is located at the Hebrew Home at Riverdale's lush 32-acre waterfront campus. Riverwalk's spacious modern apartments feature cafe-style meals, housekeeping, and concierge services. I've been to Riverwalk, and I've witnessed older adults as they experienced life in a vibrant atmosphere. I've seen the residents participating in activities and programs, including art classes and live entertainment and dance and music. Residents enjoy a renowned art collection, museum and cultural trips, and are enriched through Riverwalk University courses, lectures, and current events classes. Find out more. Interesting stuff. Call 800-56-SENIOR. Every aspect of the Riverwalk experience has been thoroughly crafted around one central mission: to help your loved ones live forward each and every day. Call 800-56-SENIOR or go to riverspringhealth.org today. Let's check out traffic now and Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everybody. The investigation is heating up, but nothing to do with Russian collusion. Gosh, they've really dug up this new bit of news. Have you ever heard of this Access Hollywood
Never.
Tape, Len?
No, what do you got?
Have you heard of this tape before?
Oh, you mean this one?
I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet.
You mean that one?
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna play the other, the bleeping part?
I don't know what we have.
And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the...
Shocking.
Yeah, I mean, they had this.
That was a month before Election Day, and he got that. I think that pushed him over the top. I think that's why he won.
Could well have been, actually. It was probably the unrelenting attack by the mainstream media on him that galvanized his supporters. So this tape, a year and a half old now, 2 years old now, and it's suddenly back in the news because it turns out to have been the subject of the FBI raid on Trump's lawyers, Michael Cohen's office and house. They're looking for this Access Hollywood tape.
Well, that's part of what they're looking for.
They're looking for evidence that Cohen paid off people,
right.
And they could probably, looks like they're going for campaign finance violations.
But just keep in mind, this is not Mueller doing this. Mueller handed it off.
It's Mueller who is the one who found it and said,
But he handed it off to the Southern District and said, if you guys want to run with it, run with it.
So. Yeah, maybe because he's not finding too much on the Russian collusion front, so he feels he's got to have come up with something with this investigation.
I'm not 100% sure of that, but I think he's come up with enough stuff where he could farm other stuff out. So don't be so sure he's got nothing.
So essentially what we have is the investigator is rummaging all over Trump's past, which I'm sure, shall we say, is colorful, to find anything that Trump did in the past that they can use to go after him. That's what we've come to. Forget about the Russian collusion. It's just let's root around in Trump's past until we find something. The other interesting thing is... Trump's good friend, the publisher of the National Enquirer, the unfortunately named David Pecker, he also seems to be now caught up in this investigation. They want to know exactly what Pecker did to silence some women who may have come forward. Looks like he may have bought the stories for the Enquirer and then deep-sixed them. So Pecker's involved in all this.
That's to do with hush money and what money was paid and were they campaign violations. But this is not part of the Russia probe. This is a separate investigation.
Yeah, totally. But, you know, you're fine with just investigations that can go anywhere, right? You're just as long as it's the person that you don't like, you can go just let the investigator run free until he finds something on the politician you don't like.
Paul in Wayne, New Jersey. What do you want to say here?
Good morning, Paul.
How you doing, my man?
Good.
How you doing, guys? How are we linking this as a crime? First of all. Second of all, you don't think it was motivated by Rosenstein and Mueller for a smokescreen? It's the day before the Senate is threatening them with contempt of Congress, Ray and Rosenstein.
I don't know.
How is this a crime, first of all?
Well, it's a crime if there are campaign violations, election campaign violations. Those are crimes, but I'm not saying they're huge crimes, and I'm not saying they're linked to Russia. No one ever said that.
Paul, they're minor crimes. Find me a politician who has not somehow been tripped up over campaign finance laws.
My next question. Who signed off on it, Lynn?
Well, no, what they had to do is Rosenstein had to say that, you can hand it off. But I don't think this is take your side. I understand the side you're taking.
No, there's not a side, Lynn.
Well, there is. Of course there's a side.
No.
It's a pro-Trump side.
I'm just looking at
the facts. Listen, and I'll bet you $1 million you think the FBI is a corrupt, deep state that's out to get Trump. Yes or no?
We're not going to make that stretch, Lynn. I know you want to make it about the FBI's credibility. You're not going there, okay?
No, but you are. I'm saying that's your view.
No, I'm going to tell you my view if you stop.
He never stops.
Rosenstein's fingerprints. He never stops. Hey, when you're on CNN, that's what happens to your mind.
Love you, Paul. All right, wait, you know, you have to make a speech. That's fine, Paul. Well, that's fine. We get your point.
He's
saying that Rosenstein is the one who concocted all this and is part of Mueller and Rosenstein, and they're out to get Trump. Is that not his point?
Yes, and they are out to get Trump.
Now, our buddy Donnie Deutsch. You know Donnie?
Yeah, I do know.
Donnie had lunch with Michael Cohen yesterday at Barney's, and then Donnie was on MSNBC talking about their lunch conversation.
People are coming over the table, kissing his ring. You know, sometimes when people get into a little hard time, people are awkward. It was a fascinating New York moment to watch people react.
New Yorkers
came over to
kiss his ring. Yeah.
Why would you kiss Michael Cohen's ring? He's not the Godfather.
Wrong story. All right. So then,
Michael Cohen's not the Godfather. The Godfather, according to Comey, is coming out with a book, is the Teflon Donald, coined the phrase.
Teflon Donald, I like that phrase. Anyway, here's some more Donnie Deutsch on their lunch.
You know, he described the situation where they come knocking on the door and they literally rip his phone out of his hand. They spent 8 hours there going through drawers, going through everything. It's not just let's get the computer drive, it's just let's go into the underwear drawers. And, you know, he's holding strong. I think he's positive about things, but obviously he's in a very difficult position.
So the underwear drawer. So it was a panty raid. That's what it was, Lynn. It was a panty raid.
What else?
Big day in New York sports.
Oh wow!
The Mets
Huge.
Are hotter than ever. The brawl between the Yankees and the Red Sox, that was kind of fun up in Boston. And the Knicks gave the big axe to the coach. All that's coming up. Plus your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider and check in on the traffic.
Wow, so much to talk about at 6:54. Good morning, everyone. On a Thursday, it is April the 12th, and Michael, real a lot. Well, first of all, we're going to give away your personal Mets tickets at 7:30.
7:30, exactly.
8:30, we'll have the Turning Point Contest, another toughie. And 8:10, just to set the menu for us, is Sandy Alderson, the Mets general manager. A lot to discuss. Mets best team in baseball and suffered a very tough injury, so we'll see what's on his mind at 7:10. We have Long Island Congressman Peter King, so much to discuss with him, from Paul Ryan to Syria to Mueller. And at 9:10, we're getting word we may be getting a call from the Oval Office. Yep. So just keep our
fingers. Not a tweet, but a call.
We may be getting a phone call from the man himself. So.
By the way, Mets tickets, given how hot the Mets tickets are more valuable now than Hamilton tickets, I think, out there.
Well,
so you want to stick around at 7:30 when I give away my personal pair.
And for Howie, once again, it's a broken record.
Ramos delivers, swinging a chopper to third, big hop, grabbed by Frazier, he throws to second for one, Cabrera to first, double play, put it in the books!
We're putting a lot in the books.
I was going to say, though, that book is going to become a tome, put it in the tome, got so many pages now to it.
Well, right now they've won 8 in a row.
Right.
They've got the best record in all of baseball,
yep.
Which is really remarkable because nobody predicted this. Mm-hmm. You know, you always have the preseason expectations, and you looked at the Mets and saying, well, if they're pitching, and if they can stay healthy. So the day began with Travis d'Arnaud, their catcher. Well, he's platooning with d'Arnaud and Plawicki.
Yeah.
D'Arnaud is out for a year or more.
Yeah.
And he may need Tommy John surgery. We'll ask Sandy Alderson at 8:10 exactly what's going on. And then during the game, and I was watching this, Plawecki got hit by a 100-mile-an-hour fastball on the meat part of his hand.
Ouch.
And there was a bruise. They showed a TV close-up. The bruise on the hand. They say x-rays are negative, but you know that Sandy Alderson, if he's not on the phone with us, will be on the phone with other teams.
He's got to find another catcher.
Got to find a catcher. So, Mickey Callaway, is this a dream start for the new Mets manager?
I think that confidence has come from the previous games. And, you know, I think what we're going to see throughout the season is when we're down, we know how to get the job done. So we're never going to give up.
Well, it's two games in a row. They were down a couple of runs a couple of nights ago, and last night they had no hits through six innings.
And the other night you were watching the game, and you thought it's over with, and you went to bed.
I did.
And they pulled it out.
I actually saw this one. It must have been a fast game. So before Betty Bye, I actually saw the lead run scored.
How late did you stay up to watch this game?
It must have been at least 9 o'clock.
Oh, my God, Len. I can't believe you got any energy this morning.
It's amazing. But anyway, so I saw them take the lead. But they had no hits through six. But the pitcher was a young pitcher. They took him out with a no-hitter after six innings. Todd Frazier broke up the no-hitter in the seventh, just one hit. And then in the eighth, they just strung together four runs. But the big story to me was Zach Wheeler. Now, he's the so-called fifth pitcher in the Dream rotation. Yep. He was sent down to the minors. He was brought up. He pitched wonderfully last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a great start for the team. Great start for the city. And, I know the fans love it. And hopefully we can keep it rolling.
So he's really talking team instead of individual.
I mean, I was a little nervous at first. And I made that one mistake of Rojas, the ball to sleep back over the middle, and maybe pay for it, but I was able to settle in after that, throw a lot of strikes.
He pitched great, but the most fun for you was watching baseball players fight.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, the greatest rivalry of all time.
It spilled
over into fisticuffs yesterday.
It did. Here's a little bit of how it sounded on Nesson last night. That's the broadcaster for the Red Sox.
And that's why he gets drilled here, and he slams the bat. Now he's making a move, and here he comes on the run.
Uh-oh.
And now fisticuffs as Kelly's being tackled and punches being thrown.
Joe Kelly, who threw the pitch. Yeah. He threw it at the Yankees' Tyler Austin, who the Red Sox thought slid a little too hard into second base earlier. So it's your old-fashioned base. A lot of milling around, few punches thrown, and all that kind of stuff.
We got video on our website.
Go to our website, 710WOR.com/Len and Michael, if you want to see a good old-fashioned base brawl.
Now, I was reading Vaccaro in the Post today, and he goes back to famous brawls between the Sox and Yankees back in the 70s.
Oh, sure. I was there for that one in Fenway, and then there was one at Yankee Stadium in the 80s, which was, I remember the Red Sox pitcher Bill Lee hurt his arm in that one.
Really?
In the fight.
Do they all come running out from the dugout and pile on like they do in hockey?
Yeah, in the bullpen. And a lot of times it's just a lot of milling, but there were a couple of fights in baseball yesterday where there's some real punches thrown. Now, here's the highlight of the Knicks season, by the way. Their season ended last night. Here's the highlight of the season.
And that will end the NBA season for the Knicks.
There you go. That was the highlight of their year. Mike Breen on MSG, and of course now they fired their coach, Jeff Hornacek. So the Rangers and the Knicks in Madison Square Garden both need new coaches.
Jeff.
And the beat goes on for Knicks fans. I don't know what to tell you.
Jeff Hornacek. What's that buzzer you have there? Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, he is out.
He's gone.
Now when I want the buzzer, I can't find it.
So who's the lead contender to replace him?
Well, I don't know if it will be... here you go. Jeff Hornacek? You happy now?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I'd like to see Mark Jackson, so with Knicks fans.
Yeah.
He's been a broadcaster. He's been a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Been a former Knicks player. Star at St. John's. So So hopefully it will be he.
We
got a lot to discuss, Mr. Riedel.
Mm-hmm.
Will President Trump fire a special counsel? What will he do in Syria? What about Paul Ryan being gonzo? We're going to discuss it all with Long Island Congressman Peter King when we return. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 coming up after the news. It's 7 o'clock.
$1,000. Now, text the keyword WIN to 200-200.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info.
Standard data and message rates apply.
That's WIN to 200-200.
710 WOR.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Wow, where's this week gone? Thursday already. It's April 12th. It is 7:05. Good morning, everyone. Good morning to you, Michael Riedel.
Thank you, Len, for being so kind and generous this morning by wishing me a good morning.
Well, you jumped all over me this morning. What does this have to do with the Russia collusion? Blah, 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 blah.
What does it? Nothing.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Fine. So we are in agreement.
Access Hollywood. We are recycling the Access Hollywood tape. This stuff came out in the election. The people who voted for Trump decided it didn't matter, and now it's got to be thrown up all over again.
This is the focus of the whole investigation.
Hey, when you start, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the...
Yeah, there you go. So our big three stories, they're looking for what?
Access Hollywood tape.
The FBI raid on Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, included that infamous Access Hollywood tape. Why, and what does that have to do with anything?
Campaign finance violations. That's what they're going to go after. That's right, it. Right. That's it. Minor.
But just
minor,
keep in mind, this is not Mueller doing it. This is the Southern District. Just keep in mind.
He handed it off.
It was like a baton. It's a relay race.
It just doesn't seem really to sink in with you. All right?
Are you calling me thick-headed?
We had accusations that the Russians essentially stole this election from Hillary Clinton and threw it to Donald Trump. Those are serious charges. If the Russians meddled in, if Trump's people had something to do with it, serious accusations, possibly treasonous activities. We have a special counsel looking into
it. Right,
and where are we now? The Access Hollywood tape. And you're just that. I'm perfectly happy with it. As
That's
long as that investigation goes everywhere and finds something about Trump, let it range free.
Putting words in my mouth.
But you're not sort of upset about this? That the whole notion of the Russian collusion has now come down to the Access Hollywood tape?
Well, let's see what Joe in Norwalk, Connecticut thinks. What do you think, Joe?
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, guys. I think this is going to be a big backfire to, quote-unquote, the establishment. They're going so deep into Trump's past. If anybody's, you know, noticing, his approval ratings are increasing because of what he's actually doing. So I think the more they dig, the more his supporters are going to hunker down and be more adamant about.
Well, there you go. The more they look, the better his ratings are.
That's right.
There you go, Joe.
Let's get in that bunker, Joe. Let's hunker down in that bunker.
Also in the big three, speaking of bunkers, no bombs yet. Still waiting for the other shoe to drop in Syria.
Militarily, I don't like to say where I'm going and what I'm doing.
I don't want to telegraph what I'm doing or what I'm thinking.
I'm not going to tell you anything about what response I do. Whatever happened to the element of surprise?
Well, then there was the tweet yesterday morning said we're sending missiles. So whatever. Whatever floats your boat.
We don't know when he's sending missiles.
There you go.
So they will still be a surprise when they land. We don't know when they're going to land.
Rounding out the big three, a wacky night in sports. The Knicks actually won final game of the season. Then they fired their coach. Yankees and Red Sox brawled at Fenway, much to the delight of Michael Riedel, who loves fighting.
I love a good fight.
And the Mets now with the best record in all of baseball, but a big injury. Mets general manager Sandy Alderson will join us at 8:10. Talk about all of that. We have Michael Riedel's personal Mets seats
coming up at 7:30.
Yeah. And we have the Turning Point contest at 8:30.
Very good. So and we have Congressman Peter King coming up any minute now. We got to discuss Paul Ryan's decision not to seek re-election. I think it tells us that the Republicans have a very strong sense they're going to lose the House in the upcoming midterm elections.
He wants to spend more time with his family.
Well, if I am here for one more term, my kids will only have ever known me as a weekend dad. I just can't let that happen. So I will be setting new priorities in my life, but I will also be leaving incredibly proud of what we have accomplished.
See, this is...
You buy it?
No, this is when the needle on the lie detector test goes... Well, I want to spend more time with my family.
Well, let's see what Long Island Congressman Peter King has to say. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
And Michael, how you doing?
We're doing great. So are you going to jump off the sinking ship as well, or are you going to stick with us for a while in Congress?
No, it's no sinking ship. We're in good shape. It's going to be tough, but again, there's no real support for Democrats either, so it's going to be an interesting election. As far as Paul Ryan, I sort of heard what you were saying there. I actually believe Paul. I've known him for a long time. He never wanted to be Speaker in the first place. We literally had to drag him into it. This is probably the only person I know who was in a high office who didn't want to be there. He wanted to be Chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. When he became Speaker, he actually, that was one of the conditions he gave us. He would be given so much time each week with his family, and he was certain days he would not campaign, and he just got out of control in the last week. In the last year, he spends at least 6 days a week either in Congress itself or traveling around the country, and so I believe it. Also, his main goal in life, and Paul was a policy wonk. He wanted to reform the tax code. I voted against the tax bill, but that was in Paul's mind his crowning achievement. He had done that, and he wants to go out on a high note, but I think whether or not the Republicans keep the House in November, Paul was still not going to stay on as Speaker.
Congressman, here's my recurring nightmare, Paul Ryan handing the gavel back to Nancy Pelosi. You got a lot of Republican congressmen who are not seeking re-election. That tells me that a lot of your colleagues don't think they can hold the House. What can you say to buck me up on that front?
Yeah, actually, a number of those who are leaving. We have a on the Republican side, we have a term limits rule. if you can only serve 6 years as either chairman or ranking member of a committee. So a number of those who are leaving are chairman. Their 6 years are up. Guys like Ed Royce at the Foreign Affairs Committee, Bob Goodlatte on the Judiciary Committee. So they are stepping down because they would have to give up their chairmanships. Others have been around 20, 25 years. I guess they're worn out a bit. Some may think they're in tougher races and they're not ready for a tough race. And also a number of them are running for either governor or for senator. So it's I agree. To me, it's not a good sign when you have that many incumbents not running, because it means that you lose whatever power you have, you know, from being an incumbent, name recognition, having you know, supporters that are dug in for you. So it's you know, makes it a little tougher. But I think we're still in good shape, not great shape. It's going to be tough. Any off-year election is always tough. Excuse me, you know, for the president's party. In 2010, Barack Obama, I think the Democrats lost over 60 seats. In 2014, they lost a lot of seats again. So historically, I think George Bush is the only president who, in an off year, his party actually picked up seats. So odds are we're going to lose some seats. The question is, do we have enough to stay at 218? Right now, I would say it's probably about 50-50.
We're on with Long Island Republican Congressman Peter King. So, Congressman, what should we do about Syria?
I believe we do have to take strong military action. Ideally, it'll be done with our allies. I know there's intensive talks going on with the French and the British, and this I'm only getting secondhand, but the French actually are the most aggressive on this. They really wanted from the start to be out there. They want to, they believe strong action must be taken, and it's not going to involve ground troops. I'm 99.9% sure of that. But it has to be coordinated. It can't just be one day of missile strikes. Now, that was effective last April. President Trump was only in office for, at that time, about 2.5 months, and it showed that he was willing to you know, launch an attack against Syria, which President Obama had not been willing to do. But obviously, you have to do more. And I think it should be sustained missile attacks, taking out as much of the air support and as much of the military facilities as we can. It's this is a threat to the entire region, and that makes it a threat to the world.
But, Congressman, realistically, we're going to have to make peace with the fact that Assad is not going to be turned out of power, right? He's going to be there with the backing of the Russians, and we're somehow going to have to accept that.
Well, this is the really the biggest mistake that President Obama did. Russia was not in the Middle East. They were thrown out of the Middle East back in 1974 by Assad, by Sadat. And in 2013, President Obama actually invited the Russians in to get rid of Syria's chemical weapons. Well, Russia's still there, and so, you know, so are much of the chemical weapons. So that's Russia is there. But again, it's not just Syria. It's Iran. It's Russia. Yeah, to have this axis of power there, which is anti-Israel, anti-United States, anti-moderate Arab states, we can't just say that Assad is going to stay there and continue to murder his people. We have to put pressure on the Russians and the Iranians to some extent to either remove Assad or get rid of his chemical weapons or to demilitarize that zone. Otherwise, this is going to be going on forever. You're going to have Iran and Russia, specifically Iran, will be using that as a base. I mean, we've seen the reports, which we can't confirm, how Israel had to take out an Iranian base in Syria. And that's because Iran is getting closer and closer to Israel, and they're doing it through Syria.
Hey, Congressman Peter King, we only have a couple of seconds left. Your thoughts on Mueller? Will Congress pass a little legislation to protect him, or where's that going?
Two things. I think Mueller should be allowed to complete the investigation, but Congress should not pass legislation. The president, you cannot have a counsel responsible to no one being allowed to carry on investigations. The president should have the right to fire him, but if he does, then there has to be action. Then Congress can decide what it should do with the president. But you should not be taking that power, I don't believe, away from the president, because otherwise you have an investigator who's accountable to almost nobody.
Yeah.
Congressman Peter King, as always, great talking to you. I'm sure you're happy about your Mets.
I'll see you at the World Series, Len.
Can't wait.
Call in at 7:30 and try to win my personal pair of house seats, Congressman, okay?
Thanks, Congressman. Thanks, guys. Bye. Appreciate it. Hey, has the investigation of the Trump campaign gone too far? Should Mueller be fired? What about this Access Hollywood, what they're looking for? What's going on? What are your thoughts? 800-321-0710. Coming up next, plus your next chance at $1,000 at 805 on 710 WOR right now. Bernie Vider with traffic.
And a good Thursday morning to you at 725. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to be giving away my personal pair of Mets tickets. That's coming up at 7:30, the hottest team in town. Those tickets are more valuable, I think, than tickets to Hamilton.
Well, they are. Your personal tickets are for a Mets-Nationals game, and Washington will be looking for revenge. So, and the Mets are now best team in baseball.
Absolutely.
After 11 games.
Quick little entertainment note. I want to wish good luck to all my friends who are opening tonight on Broadway in the revival of Oscar Hammerstein and Richard Rodgers' Carousel, one of my favorite musicals of all time.
Great.
Special good luck to the wonderful Renee Fleming from the Opera World, who is making her Broadway musical debut tonight.
Wow, opera to Broadway. That's
opera to Broadway, yeah. So looking forward
good
to
luck.
That. All right, the phones are open. 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Has this Mueller investigation gone out of control? What do you think about this Access Hollywood tape? Does it have anything to do with Russian collusion? I don't think so, but what do you think? 1-800-321-0710. Let's go to Mary on line four. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. What do I think?
What do you think, Mary? Come on, lay it out for us.
What do you think, Mary?
I have two comments. Well, actually, two and a half. Like, the bases are two-thirds full.
That's a riddleism.
Good morning. I listen to you every morning.
Thanks, Mary.
First of all, I'm sick to death of the Mueller investigation. Now, here's where the two and a half come in, or two and three quarters. And thank you, Natalie. More Mets, more of the time. And remember Tug McGraw? Remember?
You gotta believe.
And then the magic is back again. They should wrap the stadium. Didn't they do that to Shea Stadium? Didn't they have like a banner outside that said the magic is back?
Yeah, they did. So you want more Mets stuff?
Ramos delivers. Swinging a chopper to third. Big hop. Grabbed by Frazier. He throws to second for one. Cabrera to first. Double play. Put it in the books.
There you go. That's just for you, Mary.
What about my two-thirds bases? What about my two-thirds bases are full, then?
I don't know if we have that one.
That was my best line.
Let's see if this is it.
Hey, here comes the pitch, Len. And, and it's to right field. And no.
It's called a foul ball.
It's a foul ball.
It's out of play.
If it hit the post, it would have been in.
Hit the post, it would have been in.
I was about to say, you're always stepping over my line.
It's a hockey phrase, hit the post.
You really want more baseball, Mary, huh?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks for listening. How about
thank you, Mary.
Mark in Connecticut? Hey, Mark, you are up. Go.
Hey, fellas.
Good morning.
Yeah, the Mueller investigation, this thing has gotten way out of control. He was, put there to look into the alleged collusion. There's nothing there. It's a fishing expedition at this point. Trump should fire him. Period.
That's
fire, it? Should fire Mueller.
You don't think it'll be a constitutional crisis if he fires him?
I think that there's going to be a lot of hubbub about it. Either way, it's a major distraction. Let him go. End it. Trump can handle the heat. He's handled everything else they've thrown at him.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening, pal.
All right. Let's hear from RJ on line three. Good morning, RJ.
Hey, good morning, Lennon. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning to you.
I will say this. This is my take. It's been long enough with keeping this special prosecutor, Mueller, in a position that he's not, no pun intended, but he's not serving any justice. He's a witch hunt that's gone far too long. He needs to go. He hired him. He could just as well release him. And like he's done any of the other people in his cabinet that have just not done anyone any good.
RJ, aren't you worried, though, if he does fire Mueller, he's playing into the hands of the Democrats who are going to jump all over him and create a constitutional crisis? Don't you think that's what the Democrats want Trump to do?
I think that if it's done, it the message is loud and clear that he's just simply a major interference in having Trump continue on with his great agenda and make this country great again.
All right.
And that's really the
bottom line.
Thanks, RJ. Appreciate it. I wish we had time for more calls, maybe later on this morning, but no. We have something more important to do, or equally important.
We do have time now at 7:30 to give away my personal pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Nationals. That is going to be some game, I'm telling you. On April 17th at Citi Field. Now, I want you to be caller number 19. 19 is the winning number this morning. Give us a call here at 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. And if you're 19, you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's go to Joe Bartlett with the 7:30 news. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Michael. President Trump tweeting this morning claiming he never said when an attack on Syria would take place.
He didn't. Well, that's true. He didn't say.
He said the missiles are coming.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, they come.
Okay.
They're still coming.
He said it could be very soon or not so soon at all.
There you go. Well, that covers it.
That's today's.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Good to know.
The Defense Secretary, got to keep you up to date, Len.
Thanks.
Defense Secretary James Mattis says they're still assessing the intelligence of the suspected chemical weapons attack.
We stand ready to provide military options if they're appropriate, as the president determined.
And why does he sound like he's got a cheeseburger in his mouth when he talks?
Yeah. CNN is reporting that the French president says there's proof that Assad was behind the does anyone really doubt that?
Well, Russia is claiming that there's no proof.
Oh, well, yeah, the Russians, they never lie.
We can believe them, right? Access Hollywood tape back in the news. The New York Times now saying the FBI raided the home and office of the president's personal attorney this week, looking for documents related to that infamous video. Want to know if Michael Cohen had any role in trying to prevent that from being released. Long Island Railroad President Patrick Nowakowski resigning tomorrow, facing criticism over his reign there at the LIRR for some 4 years, the worst on-time performance in 18 years last year. He did just, implement a $20 million improvement program. And a heartbroken mother says she was forced to identify her daughter's dismembered body. The torso of Brandi Odom was found in Brooklyn this week. Her mother, Nicole, doesn't know who would do this.
Brandi was a lovable, joyful person. She would have given you the shirt off her back if you needed it. She was good to everybody.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad situation. No word on how she was killed or obviously who killed her.
Yeah.
Hey, when tennis comes to New York this summer for the U.S. Open, the players are going to be on the clock. According to the New York Times, U.S. Open will use a 25-second serve clock. First time it's ever been used at a major tournament. The hope is it will speed up things, especially in matches featuring notorious procrastinators like Rafael Nadal.
Well, Nadal has to pinch his ears, put the hair behind his ears. He grabs his underwear. He does. He does the. He's obsessive compulsive. He does the exact same bit between every point, and he goes on forever. So hopefully, you know, we had John McEnroe on the other day.
Oh yeah,
and he was complaining about the length of tennis matches. So yeah. maybe this will help
speed it up.
Everything's got to be quick these days. The U.S. Open also enforcing a 7-minute warm-up period.
So. Okay. But I guess they get a warning and then they'll lose a point if they take more than 25 seconds. Yeah. And third time is they'll lose a game, right?
The first violation, a warning, followed by a loss of a point, and then
good.
The game.
Speed them up. Play ball. Come on. Serve it already.
All right. Coming up, that little nerd with a necktie, Mark Zuckerberg, testified before Congress. And he's claiming to be the victim, if you can believe that. Plus, we're going to go check in on the latest on the Bill Cosby trial when we get back.
Riverwalk is a premier independent living community overlooking the Hudson River with luxury residential style accommodations. Riverwalk is part of River Spring Health Family of Care Solutions and is located at the Hebrew Home at Riverdale's lush 32-acre waterfront campus. Riverwalk's spacious modern apartments feature cafe-style meals, housekeeping, and concierge services. You know, I've been to Riverwalk and I've seen older adults as they experience life in a vibrant atmosphere. I've seen the residents participating in activities and programs. I even led one of those. We had a sports conference. They've got art classes. They've got live entertainment, dance, and music. Residents enjoy a renowned art collection. They have museum and cultural trips. They're enriched through Riverwalk University courses, lectures, and current events classes. Find out more. Call 856-SENIOR. Every aspect of the Riverwalk experience has been thoughtfully crafted around one central mission, to help your loved ones live forward each and every day. Call 856-SENIOR or go to riverspringhealth.org today.
Your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in with Bernie Viter and traffic.
WOR.
Sun is just getting up. Good morning, everyone. It's 7:40. Looking forward to a nice day up in the 50s and the 70s tomorrow and Saturday. And Michael Riedel, we have a winner for your personal Mets seats.
Yes, somebody who was up to go after my tickets and must be a happy guy this morning, Dan Quigley from Levittown. He won my tickets, my personal pair of tickets, to see the Mets take on the Nationals on April 17th at Citi Field. It's going to be a good game.
Well, congratulations. At 8:30, we'll have the Turning Point contest for a couple of more tickets. At 8:10, we'll have Mets general manager Sandy Alderson. Lots of disgust. Mets have the best record in baseball, but also suffered an injury or two yesterday.
Yeah, they need some new catchers, Len.
We need some people playing backstop. So we'll talk to Sandy Alderson coming up at about 8:10. Now, is Zuckerberg's show over? He's not testifying today?
That's it?
A two-day run?
Yeah, it was fun the first day because, he, as I said before, he looked like a kid going for a ride in Jurassic Park with those dinosaurs, those ancient congressmen up there trying to figure out what is this Facebook thing? I mean, they were practically like, can you explain the internet to me, Mr. Zuckerberg? Yeah,
I didn't watch.
They were really out
I have
of it.
To admit, I saw none of yesterday. Did you see any of it?
A little bit. The House members, they're younger. They're a little hipper to this new thing called the internet, Len. And the questioning was a little tougher on Zuckerberg, but I think on the whole, he's skated free of it. The big question is, how much government regulation are you going to have of Facebook? And I speak as a Republican here. I'm wary of too much government regulation. Why Facebook is successful, all right? It's got problems with privacy issues. Zuckerberg says we're going to work on those. We're going to try to correct it. But the default position, usually from the left, is, oh, something's wrong. We need to clamp down. We need the regulators deciding how people should run their business. That's the danger.
Are you picking on Democrats? Well, here's a little bit of Zucker. If you missed the thoroughly entertaining Zucker. Here's a little
bit. The nerd with the necktie.
Nerd with the necktie.
It's been reported that Facebook has as many as 29,000 data points for an average Facebook user. Do you know how many points of data that Facebook has on the average non-Facebook user?
Congressman, I do not off the top of my head, but I can have our team get back to you afterwards.
Boy, riveting.
Oh, wait a second. How would he have data points on non-Facebook
have
users?
Have you no shame?
I don't understand the question.
I don't know.
So somebody, if you're not a Facebook user, then he has data points on them?
Some little intern in the congressman's office wrote that out for him, and he was just reading it. So I don't know what's going to happen here. The privacy issue, of course, is a big deal, but I still maintain, Len, that most people who use social media are not that concerned about their privacy. I think they know they're giving up a lot, but it's fun, it's convenient, it's the way people are staying in touch with their friends now, and so what if the advertiser know a little bit about you? You know, this is how advertising works. It doesn't bother me, by the way, when I go on Facebook or social media. Amazon pops up because I was shopping for some history books, and sometimes it comes up that there's a book that I would like to buy. Okay. Welcome to advertising.
Well, apparently he left his talking points open in the notebook. He had a notebook with him as he was testifying, and people were able to see what his talking points were. So in his notebook, he wrote, founded Facebook, my decisions, I made mistakes, big challenge, but we've solved problems before, going to solve this one. That was just for starters. Then he had some critical comments about Apple CEO Tim Cook, who was all in his book. So USA Today came out with an interesting column. What have we learned? And number one is what you said, that Zuckerberg knows that some kind of federal regulation is on the horizon.
Not too much, though, I hope. Not too much.
And I certainly. What would you have in your notebook?
What would I have in my notebook?
Yeah, what would you write down for your notes?
My name.
In the morning, be nice to Natalie.
No. My name is Len Berman. If you find me wandering around in my bathrobe, please return to my lovely wife with your phone number on there.
Thank you. Very sweet of you. The Cosby thing got interesting yesterday, don't you think?
Yes, it did. Dramatic testimony. One of his accusers, Heidi Thomas, right before she stepped down from the witness stand, she said, I want to see a serial rapist convicted.
Whoa.
So that's tough. Another woman... Shalon Lasha, she was crying and she looked at Cosby and she said, you remember me, don't you, Mr. Cosby? And the comedian looked away. He looked down and she talked about going to his hotel room and he wanted to relax her by giving her a blue pill and a little amaretto. And as she was passing out, she thought to herself, Dr. Huxtable wouldn't do this. Somebody help me, please. What are you doing to me? So
I'm still not sure. Listen, I think it's very effective having these other accusers come forward, but the issue before the jury will be Andrea Constand, and I think her specific story has problems. But maybe these other things will help the prosecution.
That's muddied because she kept going back to see Cosby now, despite complaining about what he did to her. But there's also the payoff. He gave her $3.4 million to buy her silence.
Hey, Mona emailed me. You know, we fixed up the emails. As some listeners were saying their emails were bouncing. Well, it's all fixed now. You have to go to our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael.
Yep.
I should have that in my notes. And you can email us directly. And Mona emailed me, what is the Mueller investigation costing taxpayers? And I raised that question yesterday.
Yep.
So I looked it up for her. Through last December, through the first 7 months, it cost $5 million. And now we've almost, it's got to be about $10 million by now. Yeah. So pretty soon you'll be able to build a wall, Michael. So
But I always find that's a bit of a red herring. Oh, this is costing the taxpayers so much money. I don't think Mueller should be fired. I think Trump should let him. The course of the investigation should go forward. I am concerned that it now ranges far and away from the central idea, which is Russian collusion. Happening.
Hey, you know, a famous actor is being investigated on sexual abuse allegations.
Yep.
Don't say who isn't.
I know him. I know him well.
This is a friend of Michael's. Also, a superstar singer admitting that she's bipolar. We'll have all that coming up, plus your next chance at $1,000 coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. But right now, it's time for Traffic with Bernie Vaughn.
Good morning, everybody. Coming up on the 8 o'clock hour, that's entertainment, Len. A little entertainment news for you right now.
What do you got?
Now. I got, well...
Oh, you have your buddy.
Yeah, this is I got to be honest with you. This is always a painful one for me. I am friendly. I haven't spoken in a long time with Kevin Spacey. Full disclosure, he endorsed a book I wrote called Razzle Dazzle, The Battle for Broadway. Gave me a great blurb that we put everywhere, and we've since taken it down from the Amazon page.
Oh, you took the blurb off?
They took the blurb off.
It's on the jacket cover.
It's on the way. You can't take it off the jacket cover of the first edition of the book. By the way, it went into several editions, but the first edition.
Several editions he throws in there. It's called Razzle Dazzle at Amazon.
For Broadway, that's it. Yes. So Kevin Spacey.
Did I tell you my book, The Greatest Moments in Sports, made the New York Times bestseller list? Did I ever mention that to you?
Did it have an endorsement from Kevin Spacey?
No. I'm trying to remember who it had. I don't know. Joe Torre endorsed my first
Babe Ruth.
My first book. Yeah, Ty Cobb and Babe.
That's how long it goes back there.
I forget who endorsed it.
Anyway, Kevin Spacey, a little legal jeopardy for him. Los Angeles County District Attorney is reviewing a sexual assault case that was brought against the actor. It goes back to 1992. Apparently, it took place, I think, in a bar in West Hollywood back in those days. Not a lot of details here, but the Los Angeles County District Attorney is looking into this charge against some sexual possibly assault that Kevin Spacey did against a guy in a bar in West Hollywood in 1992. Spacey, of course, has dropped away from view ever since the actor Anthony
Will he ever act again?
I doubt it.
Wow.
He dropped away from view, you know, when Anthony Rapp came out and said that when Anthony was 14 years old, going way back to the 80s, he was at a party and a drunken Kevin Spacey jumped on the bed with him and assaulted him. And Anthony Rapp came out with that, said he was scarred for life. We'll see about that. I don't know. But anyway, that drove Kevin Spacey's career into the ditch. And he has since been seen at that sex clinic in Arizona with his little yoga mat, but no one I know has spoken or heard from him in a long, long time.
Well, they're also investigating him in London.
Yeah.
And
he ran a theater there, and apparently there was some issues when he was running the old Vic Theater with the people who worked at the theater, men, of course, and whatnot. So, yeah, now I don't think we're going to see Kevin Spacey anytime soon. Mariah Carey.
This Mariah Carey?
Yes. And then a hero comes along. Oh, I like this song. With the strength to
carry on. Well, this, I wouldn't, I can't say I was shocked when I heard this, but I don't know her. And
I don't know her. She had a nervous breakdown in 2001, and now she says in People magazine she has been diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. She's no longer in denial about it. She's taking medication. She's feeling good. She's getting back to what she loves to do, which is writing songs and making music. And she makes good music. I like that. Play that song. And then a hero comes along
She has a good voice.
Yeah, she was married to the record producer, Tommy Mottola, who he's producing on Broadway a musical about to open up about the life of Donna Summer. So
great.
It's kind of all those great disco songs, Last Dance.
And when will Tommy Mottola join us on the air?
I believe
here?
Tommy Mottola may be checking in with us next week to talk about his new Broadway musical about the life of Donna Summer.
Really?
I love Donna Summer. I mean, anytime you go to a wedding... What's that song that they play at the end when they want to wrap up the dancing?
Last Dance.
Last Dance tonight.
Can we ask him about being Mr. Mariah Carey, or is that off limits?
I think we can ask him whatever we want to ask him. So, another pal of mine, not to drop a name, but Patti LuPone. Kaboom, there goes the name. I love Patti LuPone. Yeah. This woman does not hold back. She's going, she's going after poor little Uma Thurman. She was interviewed in London where she's appearing in a revival of the musical Company, and they asked her about film actors on stage, and she says, I don't necessarily need to see film actors on stage because they can't. They can't do it. And she says, can I just say Uma Thurman, who was in this play, The Parisian Woman, anybody see it? Holy bleep. I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry.
Taking on Uma, huh?
She's taking on Uma. Yeah. Now, Patti does not hold back. She is great, great fun.
Now, when's Carousel opening?
Carousel
tonight?
Opens tonight. Really? Terrific new revival.
Would this
so
be this Carousel?
If I
lovely music.
I love that
lovely
song.
Music.
If I Loved You, Oscar Hammerstein, Richard Rodgers. That was the wonderful Kelly O'Hara.
Right.
She's not in this production, but Jesse Mueller, who won the Tony Award for Beautiful, the Carol King
Syracuse
musical.
University, Jesse
That's right.
Mueller. Yeah.
She is in it. My pal Renee Fleming is in it. And
another pal, another name to drop.
Another name to drop. Kaboom, there you are. So I was going to go to the opening, but because I got to get up early to do this show, I'm going to catch a matinee, but I wish all my friends in Carousel good luck tonight.
All right, sounds good.
Hey, the Mets, best start in the history
of the team,
of the franchise.
And they have the best record in baseball right
now. Absolutely. We're going to talk to general manager Sandy Alderson when we get back. And your chance at $1,000 is coming up at it's going to come up after the 8 o'clock news. And here to deliver that 8 o'clock news is that great Broadway singer, Joe Bartlett.